So, it is the season. Not sure if you know what season it is, but it's coming up on that season on the calendar that many young men and women and even older men and women wait for. It's not the season of graduation, though that's the season it is right now. How many more weeks are there of school left? One left of regular the school. The college is already, actually the college is out and started back. They got 1 week off and they started back with summer session. And so 1 week and all the kids will be out and then everybody will be going crazy. They're all looking forward to being out, and then the parents at the end of the summer are looking for them to go back. Just go back, you know, just need my, I need my routine back for a while. But it's another type of season. This is coming upon the wedding season. The season that they people choose to exchange their vows of love between one another and become married. Now, everybody, just I want you to do like this. Lean your head to the right and just go, ah. See, it's that type of season, you know. And now, that's not saying that anybody gets married outside this season is not getting married at the right time, but it's that time. I did a wedding last week. I was in North Carolina, and I'm appreciative to Stephanie Ellis. She's not here today. I don't see her, but appreciate her speaking for me last week, and I watched it on video, which you can watch it online at our website at www.lifespringeffect.com, but I watched it, and she did an awesome job. In fact, Mr. Thomas at our men's group meeting on Tuesday said, boy, you better step it up, or we're going to put you out and put her up there all the time. So he gave now, but I did a wedding last week, and one of the passages that's almost always used in some form or another in the wedding service somewhere comes from 1 Corinthians. And I thought it would be appropriate to use that today, since we're in a message series about what is love. And what love is, and we've said different things. Last week, Stephanie talked about love is unifying. It connects us. It puts us together. It reminds us that we're we's and not I's. And so today I want to just read to you from 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 1 through 13. I'm going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to read it to you. I'm reading from the NIV version, which is what I read. This is what I read out of. I memorized it as a little kid as the King James Version. So I may slip up. If I look up, I may end up speaking King James for you. It's just like, it doesn't happen often, I promise you, but we'll see. So Paul is writing this to a group of people. It's his first letter to a group of people who live in the city of Corinth. And so it's why it's called 1 Corinthians. It's a letter. It's really a letter. They've broken it down into a book. It's 13. I'm on chapter 13, several chapters. So it's a long, long letter, which is the way that they wrote back in that day. Let me read this to you. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. I'm just going to stop there. He's just saying, hey, If I can speak in any language I want to, even if I can speak like angels, whatever language they speak, and I don't have love, I'm just making a bunch of racket. I'm just making a bunch of noise. My words really have no meaning. He continues, if I have the gift of prophecy, and I can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. So he's like, if I can tell what's going to happen in the future, if I could have all the knowledge, if I understood everything in the world, if I could do anything, if I had the faith that could move mountains, but I have not love, I'm nothing. Now, many of us in this room would like to have all of those things that are just mentioned. We'd like to be able to see what's going to happen in the future. We'd like to be able to understand everything and know the different things about how a car works sometimes, or how to do things. Well, maybe you don't know how a car works, but I do sometimes. Mine's broke down. But if you knew all of these things, if you had the faith to move mountains, but you don't have love. See, some of us would trade everything. We'd trade love to have all that other. In fact, many people in this world have traded love in search of all these things, because they think it's those or love.
And Paul's trying to tell us, no, I don't think it goes like that. He says, if I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. He's saying, if I give all that I have, if I give generously like the offering just a minute ago, if I even make the greatest sacrifice of sacrificing my body for others to live, but I don't have love, it was a wasted death. And I would say, too, that if you live a life, that you do all these good and great things, but you do them without love, then you really have a wasted life, not just a wasted death that he speaks of here. He continues, he says, love is patient and love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, and it always hopes, and it always perseveres. Now, can you see why they use this in a wedding? Do you see why they set the tone with the wedding about what love is that brings people together? This is what love is about. It names all these things. It doesn't envy. It's kind. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It doesn't dishonor or diss people. It doesn't put their self first above everything. And it doesn't really get ticked off or angry easily. It doesn't say it doesn't get angry. It just says it takes a little bit. A little bit more than what the average is for others. It doesn't even keep up with whether you've done wrong or whatever. In other words, it forgets about it. As soon as it's over, it's like forget and forgive and let's go on, move on. And it never rejoices with evil. It sees evil. It knows evil. Love knows evil, bad, what's wrong, and it doesn't celebrate it in any forms. It always protects. That's what each spouse is looking for. It's always protecting, always trusting. The one thing, the trust that I see when it's broken that destroys so many marriages. It always hopes. It hopes for better days. It hopes for what could be. It hopes for the future. And it always perseveres. And then he goes on and said, love, it never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. And where there are tongues, they will be stilled, and where there is knowledge, it will pass away. So you see, he's tying this back to what he originally said. Those things of the strength and the faith and the knowledge and the understanding, he's tying back. He's like, all that stuff that people search so much for is going to fail. It's going to go away. He continues on, he says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. So it's like, we only know a little bit right now. No matter how much we think we know, how much we think we understand about love and life and everything, we only know a part of it. He says, there's a day coming when completeness will be there. He says, when I was a child, now he's giving an example. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now, we only see a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall fully be known, even as I'm fully known. He says, and now these three things remains, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. So we see this, and we see this passage, and I could sit there, and we've talked about various things about what love is. But today, I want to wrap this series up. I want to wrap it up with this passage here of what people have heard so many times at weddings. Maybe they slept through it, I'm not sure. But the parts that we miss the most out of this passage here. Some of you in this room may be connecting to the point of, does not envy. Because maybe you know somebody you love or care for, but they envy.
Or maybe they is not easily angered. Maybe you're with somebody or you love somebody or have a family member, a friend, or someone that you love, but they're easily angered and you just want to say, I wish you were at church Sunday to hear this part. Maybe you have somebody that's seeking knowledge and seeking all this stuff and they're just sacrificing everything for that, but yet won't come home and be with the family or won't spend time with one another. Most people would probably on the surface pull many things from here. But today I want to talk to you about one part of it. It's beginning in verse 4 when it says, love is patient. Love is patient. See, the original Greek word there for patience is makarume. Wait, let me say it again. I practice this so much. Makarumeho. There's no T on it. Makarumeho. That Greek word, which is what everything has been translated into King James, into NIV, into whatever standard of Bible that you list to, whatever translation, that Greek word is the word that is being translating. And what that meaning is from the scholars of old, what was written and what Paul was intending is this. Long-tempered, meaning to defer anger. It means that it might have anger building up, but it's long. It takes a long time for that anger to get there. Refusing to retaliate with anger. Patience is refusing to retaliate with anger, especially because of human reasoning. My mind tells me, my human side tells me, I need to retaliate. I need to do something back. Love is patient. In other translations, it says it's long-suffering. Endures. There's other translations that try to capture this word. Patience to me means, oh, just wait, it'll come. Just give it time, it'll come. That's not what he's talking about. And if that's the way you've interpreted it for years, I won't help you understand it. This is not about it's just going to happen. It's going to be a natural thing. Patience is going to happen. It's not. This is about fighting against everything within you to do evil, bad, to retaliate, to strike back. Another translation, another definition could be quietly and steadily persevering or being diligent. Patience, I do know this, is the opposite of impatient. When we say the word impatient in our culture now, what does that mean? I want it now. I need it now. I can't wait. Everything. Do you know what patience seems to revolve around when we put this in this passage and we read it like patience? About time. When time gets limited, right? When time gets limited, my patience run out. Does anybody else ever feel like they don't have patience for something? Does anybody have short patience? Does anybody here have short patience? Huh? Anybody have short patience with someone they love? It's just, what is taking so long? Let's get with it. Let's do it. Let's come on. Let's move it. Patience. But see, there's something to do with time, but I don't think it's just about something that's naturally going to happen. See, I'm a very impatient person. Amen? Where's my family? I don't hear amen out of that. I don't hear that out of staff. I'm impatient. I wrote this down and gave it to you yesterday. You mean it's not done now? You know, it takes like 3 days to do that. So, you've had 24 hours. I still don't understand why you haven't got it done, you know? I don't understand how come I can't watch a YouTube video and learn how to change the part on the car, but I had to call somebody, remember? I mean, I don't understand that. Now, other people can do it. I was making copies this morning, and the copy machine did not want to agree with me. And I literally talked to the copy machine. Now, let me tell you, it's not the first time I've had a problem with copy machine. So, and I know she's a female, okay? This copy machine is a female, and I go in and I talk nicely when I go in there. You think I'm joking. I go in there, we're going to have a good day today. I got my stuff together on the computer, and we're going to work together really well today. It's going to be a good day. And I'm just talking nice, and I'm smiling. I turn my back to her, put the computer there, the wireless in hooks up and everything, and I hit print, and she don't print. And I just can't. I'm like, oh, it's okay. It's okay. Maybe it's, and I do this. It's my mistake. I hit the wrong button. You didn't do anything. Now, people, I'm having a conversation with a printer, you know. Now, sometimes these words come out. Now, I do the printing at Pittman Park, this church right down here. Well, their staff will come in sometimes. I try to sneak in and sneak out, get our copies of the bulletin, and get out real quick before they notice I'm there. But they come in, and they hear me talking. Because there's nothing going on in the room but my voice, but they all come in there and look. Oh, we thought somebody was with you. No, no, I'm by myself, you know. And I lost my patience. And then it changed. Has anybody, when you lose that patience, that's the tipping point, just you go crazy. You just start thinking stupid stuff, and then now I start blaming that thing and why they got that stupid copier and what's going on with this and why don't you see what I'm doing? You know, just I'm very impatient. But I don't think this is what Paul is talking about here. I think he's talking about we're just not patient when things are tough. When things get tough, we just aren't long suffering. We've become a society of people who, when things get tough, we want an easy way out. And in that day and time, it must have been obvious they wanted the same thing. But Paul is saying this love is patient. When it gets tough, it doesn't go away. It doesn't lose its mind. It doesn't go crazy. It doesn't get envious. It doesn't get jealous because somebody else has something it doesn't. This love is patient. Jesus dealt with impatient people in his day. Jesus was being threatened by the leaders, the religious leaders of his time. In fact, he had several attempts on his life where they tried to kill him. And you would think if he did that, he would have a plan of how to handle that. Now, one day, there was a festival in the big town of Jerusalem, and his kin people and his followers were like, this is the time to show that you're the king. See, they don't want to wait and do it God's way and allow God's way of the Messiah being shown the way that he actually happened. They wanted it now. They wanted freedom now. They wanted the foot off of their throat that the Romans had, and they wanted to be the nation that put their foot on other people's throats and become the powerful nation. And these people that followed Jesus, even his brothers, his kinfolks, they felt like this. And they said, you need to go into that town, and you need to show yourself. You need to show them who you are. This is a time, this festival, there are going to be people everywhere. Just go show them. And Jesus says this. But remember, before I say that, the verse before Jesus said that, it says, for even his own brothers did not believe in him. They tell him all this stuff, and it says in the scripture in verse 5 of John chapter 7, his brothers did not believe in him. We see you, we touch you, we know you, but we don't believe that your way will work. Just step it up a notch. And he said, therefore Jesus told them, my time is not yet here. For you, any time will do. Now I'm thinking to myself, you're God on earth. Why don't you just do whatever you want to do? Why don't you, what happened? What difference does it make? If they come and attack you, you can fight them. You're God on earth, for goodness sake. But he had been given his marching orders by his father. God had told him, this is the way I want you to do this, right? This is how I want you to do this. This is how I want you to do this. Jesus got it. And he is not deterring from that path no matter what. I want you to love them even when they don't love you. I want you to love them when they love you. I want them to love you when they're posers and they act like you love you and they don't love you. I want you to love them like I love them. Don't you dare give up on them. Don't you dare throw them under the bus. You love them, but you love them on my guidelines. In this way. By the way, way on back in the day, Adam and Eve were in the garden, right? Why did they eat that fruit that caused this whole problem to happen? Were they impatient? Were they, I mean, think about it. Was time a problem? Well, they didn't even know time. They didn't know they were getting old. So what was it? It was the tree of the knowledge of what? Good and evil. Do you remember what he said about some people search for knowledge? That they'll sacrifice everything to get knowledge? And if you don't have love, it means nothing. They sacrificed loving obedience to God to have knowledge. And we all suffer from it. Jesus says, not on my watch. I'm not doing that. I'm doing it in God's time, the way that God called for me to do this. Do you remember that passage? I don't know if Chris has it there, but it was, I'll read it again. Verse 4, it starts, says, love is patient. That's what I was telling you today. It's kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, and always hopes, and always perseveres. Why would he write like that? See, if you don't take the time to spend in the Word, you miss this. He started out with one word saying, love is patient. Then he ends it with, it's always perseveres. He bookmarked it. He just said the same thing at one end and said something the other to emphasize to you that everything that goes on between these two things happens because they're bracketed by this. In translating and through, you know, if you, you go to seminary to teach, this is called inclusio. Inclusio says that when they write like this, they bracketed it with the words, the important stuff on the inside, but don't you forget what they bracketed it with. It means to do all this stuff between this. The part of love is kind, love is not, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not just, all of the things that it mentioned is hard. And it's going to take perseverance. And it's going to take patience. It's going to take you trusting God. It's going to take you believing that His way is better than what your human thoughts think it should be. The Greek word for the perseverance is a different word. It's hupomieno. And I didn't put the punctuation right or the breathing mark right. But it means to preserve or persevere under misfortunes and trials and to hold fast to one's faith. To hold fast to one's faith, and in this particular case, it would be hold fast to one's faith in God or in Christ. He starts this passage with love is patient. You got to suck it up. You got to hold it together. You got to trust God. You got to believe in God. And then all these other things of not envying and not boasting and doesn't delight in evil, but rejoice in truth. All of those things will come. It's going to always protect and always trust and always hope, but not if you don't persevere. If you don't press through. If you get frustrated with people, you get frustrated with life, you get frustrated with your situations, you get frustrated and begin to behave like I did with a copying machine, you don't have love.
Quite frankly, I didn't have love for the copy machine this morning. He writes in another place, Paul writes another place, and he says this in Galatians 6. He says, let us not become weary. Good. For at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore we have an opportunity. Let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. See, Paul is writing in two different places, two different people. He's like, you gotta do good. Listen, when all else fails, when your anger, listen, here's the remedy. When you start to run out of impatience, when you run out, do good. You understand what I'm saying? Do good. When somebody smacks you on the face, when somebody cheats you, that doesn't change who you are. Do good. Love perseveres through all the struggles and the trials and the difficulties. Do good. Do good even when you don't feel like doing good. Do good. Even when the world doesn't do good, do good. That's the part that helps us learn to persevere. Do good. See, going back to 1 Corinthians, he said, when I was a child, remember he gave that example? I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. Let me explain that to you. I got two grandchildren. I don't know if any of them are in here. One's back there now, and I have one that live at the house with me, Case. Everybody seen my little redhead dynamite there? You know what I'm saying? 11 months old. I'm thinking about this when I'm preparing for this, and I'm like, well, what does it mean to think like a child? Well, let me tell you how that child thinks. Everyone exists to serve at my call. You think about a small child. They're selfish, aren't they? Everything's about me. It's all about me. Everyone serves to exist me. When I want to play, you better want to play. When I want to eat, you better be ready to feed me. When I want to be comforted and I cry, somebody better pick me up and hug me. When I'm scared, you doggone better be there to make me not scared. I need somebody to retrieve my toys when I throw them. Go pick them up, bring it back. I'll throw it again, pick it up, bring it back. Back and forth, back and forth. That's what you're here for. I need you to protect me. I need you to clean up my dirty diaper when I finish. It's all about me. And I'm telling you, there's people in this world who are grown by the age factor of whatever age they are, but they're still living in childish ways. And they're waiting on us to wipe their bottoms. And then we get angry about it. Right? We have to do everything for them. Why don't they help themselves? They should help themselves. I can't keep giving money. I can't keep doing this. Why aren't they helping themselves? Why aren't they out of depression? I've gone and talked to them 3 times. Why don't they get out of this depression? It's all about them. What is going on? Paul, and you got to love through that. He says, if you're one of the ones who have matured, not by age, but by growing spiritually, by trusting God, and you've matured and you've become a man or a woman, then don't go back and act like them. You've persevered to get to this point. Don't regress back. Love them. Love them through it as they're struggling. Love them as if they're making mistakes. Love them. Keep doing good all the time. Persevere. Suck it up. Keep moving. He kept going on. He said, for now we see a reflection as in a mirror, then we'll see face to face. Now I know in part, and then I shall fully be known as I am fully known. See, what he's saying is, I've matured by following this Jesus of doing good. And as I've matured, I've loved, and I've loved, and I've loved, even when they don't love me back, even when they persecute me, because I watched Jesus do it. Right? So Paul says, I've moved from childish ways to being a man. But he said, even when I'm a man right now, even when I think I know, I don't know now like I will know here. You understand? He's like, I'll be fully known then. So he's like, I'm still not complete. See, there's some of us in this room that have to understand God is still working on us no matter how long we followed Jesus. And you think you've got it all together, he says. And I think what he says, now I know in part. You see, we know just a little bit, but it's going to come. Comes back to the adage that every child hates to hear their parents try to explain to and tell them, just do what I say and trust me. Study your homework. Study your spelling words. Here's one. Write your spelling words 10 times each. Has anybody ever done that before? You write your spelling words 10 times each? Yeah. Write them. Write them. And it's like, why do I have to write these? Why do I have to do this? And the parents sitting there going, because that's something to do with the handwriting and the mind and recalling and repetition and all this. They know all that. You don't know all that, right? But after you do, and after a while, you get the words right. God's been saying this to humanity for a long time. Just do what I'm saying. Persevere through it when it's difficult. Love others. Do good when you're not sure what to do, when the anger wells up, when the envy wells up, when you don't want to be kind. Do good. Do good when nobody else is doing good. Care when nobody else cares. Help when nobody else helps. Go meet and talk with when nobody else will. And trust me, in time, you'll be known. And you'll fully understand what I'm talking about love. So all the things that you've heard about love, all the things that you've heard and understood about love revolve around these two things: patience and perseverance. It revolves around pushing through. Pushing through means you forgive. Pushing through doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. It means we forgive. Pushing through means we sacrifice. That means we give a part of us. We give up something of us. We give something up that we care for the betterment of something else. Doing good will help you become patient and persevering. But doing good with a purpose, because you love God, will change the world. So as the band comes up to close us out with our last song, I want you to just reflect on what you've heard just a moment. So I want you to bow your heads right now, and I want you to think about what you've heard. Now, something in this message was for you. Now, I don't want you to think about what it was for the person beside you. I want you to think about what God is saying to you about this. Maybe you struggle with anger. Maybe you struggle with some of the difficult things that we talk about here. Then maybe, if you do, maybe God will tell you some of the ways you can do good right now. How you can love through these difficulties. So listen to what he's saying to you. Father God, as we prepare to sing our last song and close out this worship service, Lord, we don't want this message to close out in us. So, Father, I would pray that you would allow your Holy Spirit to take what's been said and work it into our hearts. Now, Lord, the world really hasn't changed outside these walls. In fact, some people in this room may or may not have changed. But for some in this room, this is what we needed to hear. Love is patience. And love perseveres. Because God, you've been patient with us. And you've persevered through our rebellion from you and against you. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to understand forgiveness by accepting your forgiveness so that we can forgive ourselves and begin to move forward to forgive others. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who makes this all possible. It's in His name we pray.